At any rate, I'm glad to be anywhere, thankful for the opportunity of service. I remember when I didn't have a place to preach. I would go down in my little place of prayer on the edge of the woods and ask the Lord if he would just give me a Wednesday night. I knew the preachers weren't going to give me Sunday. And now, after 50 years, a little over 50 years of traveling, preaching here in our country and in others, I'm trying to have enough sense to not ask for Wednesday night. At any rate, it's amazing that I stay as busy as I do, and I count it a privilege and joy to be here with you today. You'll find this humorous. Some of you remember when Brother Dukes was traveling with me. He came several years with me. Brother Dukes is having a terrible time physically. They've now diagnosed him with pancreatic cancer. I know he would love and appreciate your prayers. He's not been traveling with me since the first of the year. And then I drove some myself and was able to get Brother Tim Bunton. He came with me back in the spring at one service. Now, Tim, he loves his motorcycle. And this woman pulled out in front of him and he had to lay down his bike. Somehow he stayed up on top of it. Some of you acrobats may be able to explain that to me. But when he tried to pick it up, it ripped his shoulder out. So I've lost one to cancer. He's at home trying to put up with chemo. I've lost one to a motorcycle. And Brother Jamie's been traveling with me now a few weeks. I don't know what's going to happen to him. At any rate, it's good to have him with us. He'll be helping out at the table. You remember what PATHS stands for, P-A-T-H-S. That's the name of my ministry. I call it preaching, an acrostic, preaching and teaching his salvation. One of the boys who traveled with me didn't like to stay at the table. I told him, that's one of your jobs, stay at that table. I said, if somebody wants something, there'll be somebody there to help them. Well, one night we were in a meeting where there were a lot of preachers, and I looked back, there were people at the table, and he was going around shaking hands with all the preachers. And so I got a little stern with him. I said, look, I'll do the handshaking. You stay at the table. He pouted all the way home. When he got out, he had a word for me. Very harshly. He said, PATHS does not stand for preaching and teaching his salvation. I said, well, that's what I want it to stand for. He said, no, you want me to stay at that table. It stands for pushing all Tom Hayes stuff. So Brother Jamie will be pushing it this morning. My wife says it stands for pressing all Tom Hayes shirts. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the final chapter in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. While you're finding your place, let me also say thank you for your monthly gifts to help us keep going. I never tell what size churches I'm in, but some weeks I go back to the days of yore, and you help us monthly, and it helps us on down the road. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to read just a few verses. I'll ask you to follow along with me as I read in your hearing. Genesis chapter 50, Joseph's brethren have come and asked for forgiveness. And they said, we be thy servants. That's verse 18. Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Boy, it's not difficult for us to play God, is it? And expect more out of some people than is possible. He said, I'm not in the place of God. Verse 20 is my text. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You'll look at the two words, but God. He had said this earlier in chapter 45 and verse 8. He said, but God brought me down to Egypt. Not you, but God. Now he says, you meant it for evil. But God meant it unto good. I have been meditating on some of the but God texts of the Bible. I've preached a few of them. When you come to a but God phrase, the idea is there is divine intervention. Things are going one way, or they seem they're going one way, but God turns them around. Now here in this text, we have divine intervention mentioned in relationship to divine providence. Divine providence. You meant it for evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is to this day to save much people alive. My simple definition for providence is the government of God in the affairs of men. It's God working behind the scenes, carrying out his purposes. He said, you meant one thing, but God had something else in mind. I'd like to encourage us this morning about this matter of divine providence. The word providence is only used one time in the Bible. And the indication of the term is to look ahead and then work everything out accordingly. It's really, it doesn't sound possible, but it's spelled much like the word repentance in the Greek language, whereas providence means to look ahead and then work everything out towards that. Repentance indicates to look back and be honest about all those things behind and turn from them. And so we're looking at the government of God in the life of Joseph. I promise not to preach the whole life of Joseph this morning. And all the people said, amen. Come on, you bunch of hypocrites. One of my favorite illustrations about providence is a picture that I have of a child in a small boat, maybe a canoe. And that child is with his father, and they're going down the line or the side of the riverbank. Well, left to himself, that child will do nothing but go in circles trying to paddle. So the father's sitting at the stern, and with his steady hand, he overcomes all the uneven strokes of his son. He superintends it, we might say, overrules it. Similarly, you and I would do nothing but go around in circles if it was left up to us. But God superintends and He overcomes all of our uneven strokes for the good of the trip. I just want to magnify Him today as looking out for His people and carrying out His purposes in our lives. Mr. Spurgeon said about providence, God puts everything in the right place as a captain will arrange the different parts of his army. A writer I have learned to love, Octavius Winslow, said, the operation may be as invisible and noiseless as leaven working in the meal, but not less certain and effectual. God is at work. He's at work behind the scenes. Now, what I'd like to do is take this text and say three things from the text and in this particular context or in the scene. I want to mention firstly that Joseph had made an acknowledgement of divine providence. Ye thought it evil against me, but God. He has an acknowledgement of divine providence. I think it would be wonderful for us to employ that perspective. When things happen, we must say, but God is working. But God is going to do right. Sort of like one of my mentors, Brother William Huntley. We knew him as Buck. He loved this statement. I heard him make it many times. He said, both now and forever, God will do right. Oh, I believe it. And so there's an acknowledgement that is made of divine providence. Secondly, this is where we come into this matter, not just acknowledging that God is at work, but there was an agreement with divine providence. Joseph is not mad at his brethren. He is not giving them some speech that would cause them to shudder. They're already fearful. He said, am I in the place of God? I can't judge you. You meant it for evil against me. He's admitting the truth to them. But God meant it for good. An acknowledgement of divine providence, an agreement with divine providence, an assignment in divine providence. He said, God meant it for good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph said, I'm going to be a savior of sorts to my people. And God has put me here in this place. Now, let's look at these three thoughts briefly. I don't know if my wife will see your YouTube or however you do it or not, but I just wanted to let it be known. I'm not preaching five headings. She gets very worried when I say, now I have five headings. She says, keep it to three. You're going to wear the people out. They work jobs. They want to get out at a certain time. Well, somebody call her or send her a note and tell her Tom did well. He did three. He had 3 points. Let's look at the first one. Joseph made an acknowledgement of divine providence. Now, this is a big subject, and to me, this is a great text. I want to begin, first of all, he made an acknowledgement about the backgrounds of God's providential work. He did not just see things in a blur, but he saw the hand of God in the backgrounds of life. I don't want to say much about myself, but Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't want to change the scriptures, but I could say this morning, by the grace of God, I am where I am. God has so maneuvered and worked and put the pieces of the puzzle together that I'm where I am according to his kind providence. And I think you can say that as well. Yeah, but you don't know some of the things that happened. No, but I know God was aware of all of it. And he's working all things for our good and for his glory. Oh, that we might acknowledge his hand in it. In the backgrounds. My middle sister loved to go to the Flat Rock Playhouse to see the play that they were featuring for the season. Well, I never was a theater type person, but she wanted company and she would drag me along with her and pay my way. So I went. And one of the things that I loved about the play or the performance was when they pulled the curtain, you could hear, boy, they were moving that furniture. They were changing the scene. They were fixing it up for the next section of the play. I can't help but see God doing that in the backgrounds of our lives, moving things around, setting them up for the next phase of our experience with him. Then I might add that Joseph not only acknowledged God in the backgrounds of life, but in the bitterness of life. You understand, he has not had it easy. Not only did his brothers make fun of him when he came down to the battleground to bring them some food from his father, their father, and they said, here he comes. Now, this is the Hayes translation. Here comes Dreaming Joe. I wonder what big dream he's had lately. Remember, he had dreamed that he was going to be over all his brethren. And then he dreamed again he was going to be over his parents. And they must have rubbed it in. There are two or three verses that indicate that they commented about it. And Joe thinks he's something. He's going to be over everybody. Poor Joseph. But I want to say, though they were bitter in the beginning, and then while he came down to visit them, they put him in a pit. And then they plotted together that they would sell him to the Ishmaelite caravan that was nearby. And the Ishmaelite caravan took him to Egypt. There he was sold as a slave. Pharaoh's right-hand man, Potiphar, bought him. And then his wife lied about Joseph. And he ended up in prison at that point. It was a bitter road. He did not vote on it. He did not say, this is how I plan my life. I heard a fella years ago, it was a sad story in the end, but he said, Brother Hayes, you feel like you're going to be an evangelist all your life? I said, Brother, I don't know. That's what God's doing now, and I'm trying to follow him. I said, what about your life? Well, he said, I'm going to be a pastor for a while and learn the ropes. And then he said, I plan to be an evangelist, do some mission work. He had it all planned out. That's not how life is, real life. I'm sorry to say they found his body down behind a log in the woods where he'd taken his life some months later. No, we must say, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, you do it however you want to do it. Yeah, but I've been mistreated. I've heard things that people ought not have heard and seen things. Listen, you don't have to get bitter, however. But God is at work. God is intervening in his providence. I know that there's a lot of castor oil in life. A lot of bitter things we have to swallow. I had to swallow some bitter things yesterday as I performed a marriage. Some of my most bitter enemies were there. But I was able to smile at them and ask, how are you doing? Away with this thing of bitter. Somebody said, I'm not talking to them anymore. I'll just walk on the other side of the street and you might miss God on the other side of the street. We better walk with God right through it all. I say, he acknowledged God's providential work in the bitter times of life. And then in the blindness of life, really, we cannot see over the next hill, can we? Somebody said, well, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, come on. You don't have ESP. Maybe you got ESPN. The fact is that we don't know what's going to happen next. All these commentators telling about what's going to happen in Israel. We don't know yet what's going to happen. It's a bitter thing. A bitter war. But and they said about the fella who murdered the people in Maine. They said, well, this is going to be a long haul. He's going to be hiding in the woods like Rudolph. We don't know. That didn't happen. But we all have our little ideas, don't we? Oh, we're blind about what's coming. But God isn't. And Joseph said, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good. I'm enjoying this too much, I can tell. Let's move on to that second emphasis. Joseph not only made an acknowledgement of divine providence, but secondly, there was an agreement with divine providence. He said, I just want you to know, boys, I'm not God, but I know that God has been working behind the scenes. He has governed the affairs of my life through your wicked intentions. I like to think when he says, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. I feel like he's saying, amen, amen. You did right, Lord. You did good. You did what should have been done. Amen. Oh, that we might learn to agree with God and his work behind the scenes and in all the experiences of life. The fact is, he not only said amen, but the idea is he yielded to it. He bowed to it. Well, it's pretty hard to bow when you're right, you know. It is for me. And I'm pretty right most of the time. And you are too. Don't look at me like you're growing wings. We all have our perspective, don't we, boy? I know what they were thinking. I knew what they were saying. Well, if you're so right, it's going to be hard to say God is right. But Joseph said, Lord, you're all God in this matter. You're all God. You've done right. You've worked it for good. And so he was without judgment. His brothers were worried about judgment. Please forgive us. We'll be your servants. He says, no, I'm not God. But God meant it for good, boys. I want to mention three things quickly. First of all, he was agreeing with the throne of God. Now, we set up our little thrones and we try to rule and govern and lord over everything. But Joseph has come to a place where he sees that God's throne is the throne that is in control. God is not twiddling his thumbs, eating his fingernails off into the quick. He's sitting on his throne in royalty, in glory, in honor. In an exalted position. And Joseph said, Lord, I want to agree with your throne in heaven, and I want to agree with your throne on earth. We would pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. I say, he agrees with the throne. Now, I like people to agree with me, do you? I want them to be right too. Lord, help me. However, there comes the moment as Jesus humbled himself and committed himself to the cross, even the death of the cross. So you and I must commit ourselves in agreement with the throne rights of God. He ruleth in the heavens and he ruleth in the earth. I would underline as well, he not only was in agreement with the throne of God, but the tenderness of God. He said, but God meant it unto good. God had something good in mind. As I said a moment ago, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has been good to all of us. Yeah, but you just don't know the checkerboard I played on. No, but I know who's king. And he's working us to a place where we'll bow to his kingship. On the checkerboard of life. Then I might add, Joseph not only agreed with the throne of God and the tenderness of God. God is not a meanie. He has a heart for us. He has a heart for his people. Now I confess, the way I was brought up, I thought he had a big iron pole hanging over me. I was doomed. It was over. Judgment. Wrath. Severity. Oh, but in life and in studying the Bible, I found out God is merciful. God is good. What about the children of Israel worshiping all those idols? And then God raising up a judge to deliver them from their idolatry. Instead of judging them unmercifully, yes, he did raise up enemies against them. But when they cried out, he came to their aid. He is good to his people. Well, I don't know why that had to happen. That's not your place or mine to try to figure all that out. How can you change it? It's like this dear brother, he was young at that time. I wasn't that old either, but he came forward just sobbing, jerking at the altar. And I felt like I needed to go and speak with him. And I said, brother, is there something I could help you with? What's eating on you? What's bothering you? Well, I wasn't expecting this. He said, preacher, he said, I just found out today that my daddy is not my daddy. Well, I know that's hurtful. That's sorrowful. That's difficult. However, I ask him, and I'm going to ask you, whatever you're thinking about, can you do anything to change it? It's already happened. It happens in bad homes, difficult homes. It happens in good homes, things that get out of control, and it doesn't seem right. I'm going to tell you, we can't change it. I think I told you one time when I was here, I fell down a ravine in my backyard. I'm still having trouble with my back, having trouble with my neck. Don't say it. I'm having trouble with my head. And I'm constantly, I know I irritate the people that sit behind me. I'm trying to get it to relax. Trying to pop something. In fact, I popped it so much I'm afraid I'll never pop anything back in. Even the chiropractor, he gave me the report. And instead of saying, I can't help you, he said, let's go in here and do the TENS treatment. And every time I went back, they wanted to put me in the room and have the TENS treatment. Just, you know, vibrate me. I thought, man, enough of this. And I haven't been back. And I did tell them, I have a TENS unit in my house. Why am I coming to pay you to use your TENS unit? At any rate, through it all, God is tender and gracious and loving. Who's standing up here in front of you this morning? Oh, hurt back himself. I'm telling you, The Lord is good no matter what happens. I have a dear pastor friend. He says he wants the meeting to go on, but he buried his wife on Friday, 62 years of age. Terrible matter of cancer. And I've tried to encourage, but I don't know. What can you say that really gets to the heart? They know you're a friend. They know you love them. They know your care. I'm going to tell you, above all, God is tender with His people in the most crucial situations. I wish somebody would believe that this morning. Maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a daughter, maybe a son, maybe a grandparent. Oh, God is good. All the time good. God is good all the time. Briefly, let me mention a third point about His agreement. He not only agreed with the throne of God and the tenderness of God, but with the thoroughness of God. He said, God meant it unto good. He meant it. He had something in mind that would produce good. He's been very thorough in His plans and in His providential work. John Flavel, one of the old Puritans, has 12 different stages in Joseph going to the throne in Egypt. We'll not go into all 12 of them this morning, but I want to tell you, God was working everything. He meant it for good. He was thorough. We sometimes are very quick to say things and later wish we hadn't said them. Or maybe even do things or get a little accusing towards God. Why did you do this? But I want to tell you, the truth is God had it all planned out. And somebody said, the devil did it. The devil can't do anything unless he has a permission slip in the lives of God's people. Before we conclude this morning, I want us to look at what God did have ultimately in mind. The reason, the aim, the goal, the purpose. We've looked at Joseph's acknowledgement of divine providence and Joseph's agreement with divine providence. Let me quickly mention the assignment that Joseph realized in divine providence. What do you mean God meant it unto good? They did wrong. How can God approve their wrong? Oh, He never approves sin. God is not guilty of doing wrong. However, He is able to construct and maneuver and manipulate and even use man's ignorance and man's wrong and turn it around for your good and for my good. Well, what kind of good? He said He's bringing something to pass even this day to save much people alive. My people are not going to stay here in Egypt. They're going to go out. And that next book gives us the account. The book of Exodus. They made their exodus out of Egypt. I think we might say, first of all, He saw the assignment of a position as part of the plan. He said, God has so arranged this thing that I'm in charge during this famine. And He said, I have a position that God has brought to pass as a result of you sending me down, selling me down to the Egyptian system. I say, beloved, God has something in mind that will help, not that will destroy. Not that will tear down, but that will build up. Of course, some of us are so hard and so set in stone. God sometimes has to crush the rock. Soften us up so we can see that God is at work. But Joseph saw, I'm where I am, boys, right on time. God had an assignment. I see it in my position as part of the plan. And I can't get away from his dreams. He had those dreams way back yonder in his teenage years. And now he's seeing those dreams come to pass. Somebody said, well, I felt like God was going to answer that prayer. I felt like God was going to do this. Well, he may want to do it at a later time. I don't believe God answers prayers that we make when we get to heaven. But I do believe there will be some prayers answered that we prayed on earth after we've left the earthly scene and gone to heaven. God heard our prayers when we prayed them. He knew our spirit and our attitude. I want to tell you, in his time, it's part of the plan. Dreaming Joe is now looking at God's fulfillment of the dream. I would add, not only does he see the assignment of his position, but the assignment of the purpose. He said, God is going to save much people alive. God's going to deliver. And you remember, he said, take my bones out, boys, when you leave. Make sure you dig up my body. Take me out of here. He's prophesying in a measure that God had a purpose. He's going to deliver a people by sending Joseph all the way through everything he went through and put him down there to rule under the Pharaoh. Oh. Then, of course, he sees the people. There's an assignment involving his position and God's purpose and his purpose and his people. You know, one of the things that troubles me as I travel around the country, we have lost a people consciousness in our country. We have lost much of a people consciousness in the church world. We don't have time. We don't have heart. We've got so many things on our mind that we don't have God's people at heart. Instead of just saying, did you hear what happened to them? Did you hear what happened to her? Did you hear what happened? Oh, that we might have a heart and say, God, please do something for these dear folks. He had the people on his heart. I believe he takes us through dark times to bring us to the good times. It might interest you. I just mentioned this in passing, closing. He said he's going to save much people alive. The word alive here is the same word that's used when we read that God saved Rahab alive when the walls of Jericho went down. It actually means saved to live. God saved Rahab to live. And he's going to save the children of Israel to live. To live in the Canaan land in victory. May I remind you that God is working everything not to destroy us, but that we might live according to his good pleasure and his will. You've heard the name St. Augustine. Everybody's calling him Augustine now. I heard it all these years as Augustine. At any rate, there were a certain religious element who were very strict, very hard, and they despised Augustine. They wanted to kill him. Well, he was teaching one night in a certain village, and the guide took the wrong fork of the road, took the wrong road to get to the village. He shared the word, and then they came back to their place. He did not know, neither did his God know, that a group of the Donatists were laying in wait to kill St. Augustine that very night had they gone down the other road. But you see how Providence took him down that other road that he might live and write and serve God. I'm saying the providence of God is his government in the affairs of men. This is actually this Genesis 50. And verse 28 is the Romans, or verse 20 is the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. I want to quote Romans 8:28 one more time. You know, people often say, you know, Romans 8:28 still in the book. Yes, yeah, still in the book, but it needs to be in our hearts. And instead of whining all the way to heaven, we can see that God is at work. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But God meant it for good. May the Holy Ghost put that truth in our hearts. You're standing with me, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Our pastor is coming to lead us in these concluding moments of song and of worship. May we pray. Our Father, we look to Thee, we cry out to Thee, we lean on Thee, Lord. We move in Your direction. We thank You that all things are possible with God. And so I pray for that one who's going through bitter times. They feel somewhat blinded about what's going on. They can't see what You're doing in the background. I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst help them to realize afresh that You'll do right both now and forever. Now have Thine own way as we wait in Your presence. We'll be grateful for how You help us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen.